Hey everybody, Ron Bass with another edition of Soar High, personal development, your source for inspiration, encouragement, pop culture, maybe. Anyway, today we got a special guest, Mr. Toby P-R-E-C-G, pronounced
Prett. P-R-E-C-H-G, Prett.
And if you were to spell, how phonetically, how would that spell? Like P-R-E-C,
Pracht. You know,
it's German?
C-H, yeah, it is German, actually.
That's pretty well.
Yeah.
German, huh?
Do you feel like I'm suddenly your enemy?
That's funny. I like that. So, your grandparents are from...
We can't really trace any kind of lineage back to Germany, but our last name is, and that's what we've heard, so...
So, like, your mother's father, where are they from? And your father's
father? We're all from
father.
South Louisiana.
That's a long ways from Germany.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We just know our last name is German.
But you must know where your, like, grandparents or great-grandparents came from.
I don't. I know my great, all South Louisiana.
Well, that's great. Oh, they're all from Louisiana.
Yeah, great-grandparents from South Louisiana.
Like, in my case, my grandparents came from Russia and from Poland.
Sure.
But you know, your family came from, they had to come from Europe. At some point.
Obviously, but nothing to where we heard about, hey, your great-great-great was from, Frankfurt, you know what I mean?
That's just pretty wild.
What we did hear is last name was German, so, yeah.
Louisiana.
South Louisiana.
What are people doing in Southern Louisiana?
It's sportsman's paradise. You hunt fish and, party. Lots of drinking.
Lots of drinking.
Yeah, it's kind of a sportsman's paradise for hunting and fishing, yeah.
So is that where you got your influence? Is that how you came up?
Which influence?
your partying influence?
Oh,
seems like when I first met you. By the way, I met Toby in my first night I was involved in martial arts in the jiu-jitsu community. Toby was my uki, which is like your partner. And we were doing some crazy stuff that night. But that's how I met Toby years ago. Yeah. And also, you were my fitness instructor. We did Sunday morning...
TRX.
Yeah. We did TRX on Sunday mornings. That's pretty
crazy.
That's
a good workout.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the beginning of my current workout thing, because ever since then, I've been going to the gym. It's kind of interesting. You kind of started that with me, and then I met Tony Fuel, and he picked me up at the gym. We started working out together. And, you never know who you're going to influence.
Yeah.
In life, I tell my friends all the time, you have to really be careful what you do, because people pick up on that. And if it's bad stuff, they're going to pick up on that. If it's good stuff, they're going to pick up on that. So it's really important, I think, going through life that you always try to improve yourself, always realize that you're setting an example for everybody around you. And it's not an easy role to play, but I think it's very important.
Yeah.
So Toby, when I met Toby, he was fighting. Like, he was in the cage doing MMA fighting. And I remember that vividly. I remember seeing you train in the gym with our old coach, Eric Stevens. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, this guy's got some guts to get in there, man, and do that. And I saw you fight, I think, that first month or so that I knew you.
That was just me burning off divorce energy.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. Yeah, I found myself in there after going through a rough divorce. So
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. That was kind of, I just got out of the house. My kids were left behind, so it was kind of like,
wow,
really.
Did you grow up fighting a lot on the street?
I wouldn't say a lot, but I definitely.
Where did you have the urge to want to be an MMA fighter?
I just thought it was pretty neat. So first of all, I went there just doing jiu-jitsu, and then I noticed how easy it was to get into the cage. You just needed to train and wanted willing to do it. So it just, I was like, oh, I want to do that. It's kind of neat.
And then
here's the thing. You also realize that, they're going to pair you up against somebody else that has no record yet. Your size, they're not, some master at something. You know what I mean?
So it's you felt like it was kind of an even gig. Then it was reasonable.
When you start learning about how it all works, it's not like, hey, you're going to go fight Goliath. It's going to be somebody your age, your height, your weight, roughly.
I remember seeing you fight one night, and you came out like a banshee, man. You were like full bore, and I thought, man, he's going to kill this guy. And then the tables turned. I remember that, and the guy came back on you, and it was like,
That was actually my last fight, I believe.
Was that the last fight?
Yeah,
I think it was good the cartoons out in the parking lot, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah. In actuality, that guy, my fighter backed out, so he was actually a weight class above me. So my my thing earlier, I said, I guess it wasn't true all the time, but I just didn't want to lose a fight or lose doing a fight. So I took that one, you know, but
that was crazy, man. You were really, really like doing it, man. That was like impressive watching you get out there and fight like that.
Yeah. It's fun.
Pretty interesting stuff. Most people, you know, would never have the courage to get in there and do that.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? Where do you think, like, the courage to do something that's uncomfortable? How do you conjure that up?
Well, I'd go back to my mom, dad, and three older brothers, really. We kind of come from a household that's, you know, quit whining and do it, but I don't know.
I mean, is that what people do in Southern Louisiana, fight and drink? I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, really, I mean, I got into little kid fights just like everybody else. It wasn't like I was, you know, the big man.
So you weren't like a bully. You didn't like, you weren't like a bully in high school. Were you going to beat people up?
No, I thought I was pretty friendly, especially through high school. When I was really younger, is before high school when I got into the most fights. I remember,
really?
I remember getting suspended for fighting. And
suspended for fighting?
Your junior high, And then you get to high school, you get suspended for smoking a cigarette, you know?
Man, I remember in high school, everybody would like go to the bathroom during, between classes, smoke. Here would come the counselors and run everybody off and get everybody in trouble. I thought, man, I don't know what it's like now. Like, now I guess everybody's smoking pot in school.
Yeah.
Back then it was just...
I hear they bring vapes. That's what I hear about the kids do.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because it's easy, you know, and it's cooler of a vape.
So if marijuana is legal, like in Missouri now, what about kids? Can they take it to school? Can they smoke in school? I don't know.
You got to be 18. Plus the school's going to have regulations to say no, you know what I mean?
18.
21.
Okay.
Just like alcohol.
I'm sorry, right? I guess. Wow. I was thinking, 21.
You can be any age with a med card.
Any age with a med card.
Yeah, as long as the doctor, but the doctor probably wouldn't prescribe it at 18, right?
You know? How easy is it to get a med card?
Oh, let me tell you, it's super easy. You gotta do is, I got headaches, okay, bye.
It's that easy.
Yeah, seriously.
So you're talking about teenagers can get the card?
I don't know. I'm not speaking for that. I actually forgot that it wasn't 18, it's 21, but I have no idea. Once you're 21,
Mr. Vinders, 21. Can kids get the card?
They can, it's a doctor's not going to prescribe something like that to a young kid.
Well, now wait a minute, hold that thought.
But don't
when
forget,
when I was 13 years old, I was prescribed Valium.
Sure.
By a doctor. I went to the doctor by myself. I told this on a podcast one time because I was having anxiety issues. I get on a bus, I go to a doctor downtown Springfield, Missouri. He goes, oh yeah, you need this medication. He's to get me. I was hooked on Valium when I was 13. And it took me years and years and years to get off drugs.
Yeah, nowadays they're a little more cautious when it comes to a narcotic to just, you know what I mean? Especially
to say the least. Or years later, when I got involved in opiates, I would go to this doctor in Carthage, Missouri, and he eventually got arrested for being the biggest opiate prescription guy in Missouri.
It was a lot of those,
He wound up committing suicide. I mean, it was a bad deal, but I remember going in there and here's your prescription. Just pay them the money every month and get a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for like a legal drug pusher, really.
Sure. Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. They've cracked down on a lot of that since
a lot of it
in the last 2 years.
But you know what? It seems to me a lot of people get addicted like in a very benign sort of way. Like you go to have a surgery and they give you opiates, or you go to the dentist, you get opiates. Next thing you know, you run out and you're like, Billy over here has got some. He'll sell me for $10 a pill. You start buying pills, right?
Sound like you've done this before.
I've done it before. I used to have like several doctors.
I think a lot of people have, you know, they're just...
They won't talk about it.
Sure. I mean, they're an honest...
It's real.
Yeah, it's just a drug that the doctor gives, you know what I mean? I get it. I had open heart surgery from an accident.
Heart surgery? I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I got shot in the chest. Yeah.
How did you get shot? What was that all about?
Well, it was just a little disturbance in South Louisiana.
Southern Louisiana.
Something went wrong, and
wow,
the guy put a gun to my head. I was in the car, and when
put a gun to your head.
Yeah, he put it to my head. When I tried to drive off, I went like this, and he shot me here.
Wow.
It went in right here, and it came out of the top of my chest.
Holy crap. Now, let me ask you a question. What did that feel like?
Well, at first, I didn't even know I was shot.
Now, how is that possible?
Well... That's for another podcast.
I mean, are you in shock? Is that what happens?
No, so moments later, I pull up my shirt and I see a little blood, and then I'm like, oh my God, I'm shot. Yeah, and so I actually didn't feel it come out. I only felt it go in. So
and what did it feel like going in?
Oh my God, it was, after I realized I was shot, it was like extreme pain, you know?
Extreme pain.
Yeah, it was bad. like going into shock and stuff. I actually hit an artery to do bypass surgery and hit my top left lung.
Wow. Day.
Doctor said I didn't know how I lived. I have a huge scar across my chest, man.
Wow, I never knew that. Yeah. How old were you?
I was 22 or
23. Wow.
I woke up the next,
you said you were driving, though.
Yeah, and I switched seats. My brother was with me, and he pulls me over.
Pulls you over.
Gets in the car, drives erratically to the hospital. Then on the way, there's some cops at a gas station. He pulls in. He's like, my little brother's been shot. So we got an ambulance and all the way to the ambulance.
Do you remember all this?
I remember. I'm still awake. I'm kind of going out.
You are awake.
Yeah. Well, when he pulled up the gas station, the cops, I was a little bit kind of going like this. But when they put me in the ambulance, they did something. When I pulled up, I remember all the nurses and doctors were waiting right there.
Wow.
And what hurt more than the gunshot is the chest tubes, and they put three of them in me.
Yikes.
What they do is if you ever eat ribs, you know, like pork ribs or anything like that, they have the membrane on the back you have to peel off.
Yeah.
And then the meat's really tough. Well, they push through all that meat in your ribs. All the meat in your ribs and through the membrane.
Ooh.
They make a little slice. You'll feel that slice first, and then they did it three times through my ribs.
Ooh.
And they laid over my legs so I wouldn't get up, and it was like, rah! Like, I was just like,
oh, hurt so bad. So hurt so bad.
They were just doing it quick because they were draining all the blood out of my body and then putting it back in me.
Well, I suspect that saved your life.
Oh, yeah. I went through 9 pints of blood.
Wow.
Yeah. And the body holds less than that, so it was coming out of there.
The guy that did it to you, what happened to him?
Never caught him. You want to hear a terrible story?
Yeah.
They show me a lineup. Six black guys, and I said, I don't know which one it is, and they said, just pick one.
Pick one.
I swear, and I said, I can't do that, man.
Oh, my gosh.
And he repeatedly said, just pick one.
Just pick one.
And I said, I can't do that, man. There's no way I'm doing that.
That's horrible.
That's horrible, dude.
That's unbelievable.
Hammond, Louisiana.
Wow. So what you're saying is racism to the
oh yeah, it's definitely racism. Hilt. I mean, it's crooked too, you know.
It's crooked racism,
but absolutely
it's crooked and racism.
And I follow the Hammond Police Department's Facebook page, and every once in a while I'll go in there and comment. In 2002, I had an officer show me a lineup, and I put him on blast every time.
Oh my god, that is wild.
Yeah, and then people come on like, what? I'm like, yeah, 2003 or
so,
whatever.
So what would motivate a guy to want to shoot you like that? I mean, what kind of...
So there was a crowd of people. I think he was showing off. Showing off. Well, he wanted my money, and I wasn't giving it up.
Oh, okay.
So now I'm putting him on stand in front of hundreds of people.
And he was like, I'll show you.
Yeah, well, he didn't want to be embarrassed, and then now he's tough enough to pull it, but I didn't comply, so that's how I saw it. You know?
I wonder what it would take to pull that trigger. I mean, what kind of... Would you have to be high? Could you be sober?
There's no...
Could you be a masochist? Could you be like a... What do you call the person that has no feelings? A sociopath?
Yeah.
Is that what it takes to... I mean, could you pull a trigger like that on somebody?
Not that easy. I mean, I'd have to be like, you know...
You'd have to do it. They'd have to deserve it.
Well, it's not deserve.
No, I mean, I could pull a trigger.
Well, that's a warrant me doing that, you know.
If somebody did something that
there's
was
not going to be one
to
thing
in my life, I could do it.
I mean, if somebody was, yeah,
that's what
we could all do that. You know, if somebody had a
well, I don't know.
Kid or something.
I don't think some people have the nerve to pull that trigger. Regardless, I think they would die before they pull the trigger.
Well, I'm talking about like a scenario where somebody has a hold of your kid. You know, and they're about to...
That's different.
Okay, well, there's a scenario though.
Yeah, there's a scenario there, but I think a lot of people wouldn't have the courage to pull the trigger under any conditions.
Sure,
it takes some nerve to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to kill somebody.
Well, you should get watch the news. There's plenty of stories where people got the nerve to do it.
I get it, but I wonder if those people are sociopathic. Like,
no.
I don't know. I think a lot are high.
There's a lot more than the sociopath. Yeah.
So you think the average human being can do crazy stuff like that?
Sure.
I don't buy into that. I think there has to be something chemically wrong, or they have to be high.
Oh, I'm talking. You're talking about just randomly. Like,
yeah. Like how do these guys go in like the other day and shoot at the college or shoot at the grocery store and kill them? I mean, where's that at?
That's even different. No, that's just like mass murder. This guy was just
what about
situation.
The people? Okay, let's switch gears. You're doing a podcast now. What's it called?
I am. Prison Vibes.
Voices
of a Killer.
Voices of a Killer.
Yep.
So tell us what you're doing with this podcast. This is interesting.
Yeah, so I'm collecting audio right now, and I basically reach out to people that are doing long sentences for murder.
Murder.
The first one I done was a guy that he was high on heroin. He went to rob his neighbor, tied his neighbor up, and ransacked the house with three other guys. When they got back downstairs, the neighbor was untied holding the gun. So they ended up shooting the neighbor that he's known all his life. And that he mowed his grass, hadn't known about his dog, a friend, neighbor, and shot him. And I got the whole thing on the podcast.
Wow.
And then he actually goes over and tends to him for a minute, and he's gurgling for blood, and then he hauls ass and goes gets heroin. He does 12 years, but it gets better. At the end of his 12-year bid, he gets into a relationship with a corrections officer.
What?
They're having sex in a bathroom.
What?
She's being prosecuted for it. I three-way with her. Put them both on the phone to talk about her charges and their relationship in prison.
Holy camoly. That's for real.
I'm telling you, I've got some good shit.
How do you find these people, and how do they agree to get, and how do you talk to them? How does that work?
So you can basically research anybody and email them or send them money. So I usually what I do is I'll send $10 with a message, and then they'll call me.
They'll call you collect. They call you.
Or they call me collect. Yeah.
They call you collect.
Yeah. Now I just got all the serial killer that's been in jail since '94, and he's killed three people, and there's DNA links him to three others. Anyway, he calls me, never calls collect. I'm like, you call me collect, and he's like, yeah, I got it. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
And loves to talk about it, wants to talk about it.
He doesn't really, like, he was worried. That one was, he's like, you know, what do you want to talk about?
What's their motivation for talking with you?
Well, you're probably bored as hell, and they want to also
bored.
They want to sell their piece, you know what I mean?
Oh, they want to sell it.
Well, yeah, they want to, you know, people, when they commit crimes like that, they want to kind of say, you know, make themselves human to others. It's just okay. our way of communicating, I believe.
Okay.
You know.
So this is what your podcast is going to be all about then going forward, and
it's just about murders.
So how do we find your podcast?
As soon as I publish it, I'll definitely let you know. I would say that it's going to be on. I don't know if it's under true crime, but it's going to be categorized somewhere in there. It's just going to be called Prison Bodies, but I'll definitely send you a link.
Well, okay, cool. So YouTube, I assume you're going to be on, or what?
So no videos, strictly audio. Yeah,
so Spotify
I'm publishing it to all of them. The video is just too much for me, man. I did that with the motivational speaker stuff, and
So speaking of motivational speakers, on a different subject, tell us how you got into that and what the time frame was.
So I had anger issues, and I ended up, you know.
Does that help you to be a better fighter, by the way? Because I never could. I never could turn that on when I fight.
I think it does, kind of, actually, because there's a lot of people out there that have these, like, really, like, no issues in their life, and they've never been messed with. But they're tough because they do jiu-jitsu, and they learn it and stuff, and they get really good. But I think there's an element when you get higher up that you got to be a little bit, you know, kind of get that mean streak.
What causes you to be angry? What creates that feeling? Like you said, coming up, you had anger issues. Why? What causes that? There has to be a reason.
I think it's gotten worse since I got older.
You do?
Yeah.
Like you flip?
No, I don't flip. I just, you know, I get... The shit pisses me off, you know what I mean? It's like, my dad used to call it, my dad was a car salesman, he'd come home, and he calls that the red ass, like it was old-fashioned, way. Like, gives me the red ass, you know, because my dad was kind of just kind of angry, kind of, not all the time, but.
So maybe you kind of were cut from that cloth.
Yeah, sure.
You become who you surround yourself with.
My mom's kind of a fireball, too, a little bit.
She is?
She doesn't, not like, she's super sweet, but she's not violent or anything, but she's,
Are your parents both still alive?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
Still together.
Is your dad still like that now?
Nah, he's all stroked out, man.
Stroked?
Yeah, stroked out, had heart surgeries. But I got really good parents that just, you know, we weren't like the quiet little kids at home, you know, and did everything perfect, you know. We're kind of rowdy, four boys.
So you had the anger issues, and then you got involved in motivational speaking.
Yeah, this company hired me. I would make videos, and then they sell them to different agencies. It's just all me. All it is me talking about how to handle anger, and you know,
stuff. How do you handle anger?
There's lots of stuff. You got really bad when you're like seeing red. There's like breathing. You know, there's trying to picture something nice, and then also like. Put little reminders, like you might wear a watch or something upside down. That's your reminder. Like if you ever get mad, you look down at it. There's all kinds of little things.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's not just about how to control it, but why, you know, just different avenues of taking care of it and all that stuff. So, I actually haven't done it in a long time, so it's kind of, I'm forgetting a little bit, but.
What about just day in and day out feeling frustrated? Like,
no, I'm fine.
No. I mean, like, for the audience, for like a tip for them to deal with that sort of anger, that kind of disappointment and frustration.
Yeah, I would say meditate, but even though I don't do it, I don't know. I do it, you know. I feel like I'm getting older. I get more stressed. You don't feel,
you like, feel like you're getting older? You are getting older.
No, I mean, when I'm getting older, I get more stressed. You don't get stressed as you get older?
Well, I've learned through exercise, rest, and martial arts to learn to manage circumstances, to manage adversity, to manage difficulties and stress, and I've learned to manage everything. Now, is it perfect? No, but I'm better at it than I've ever been at it. I've learned if you stay calm, even when you're fighting, you're a whole lot more successful. So
I think also, like, because I fly every week for my job.
Yeah.
Man, flying makes me, I get home and I'm like stir crazy.
Stir crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I go to the gym, you know, I do the 30 minutes or an hour about three times a week. But
I think a lot of this stems from genetics. I think, you know, in my case, I had some, my brother was schizophrenic. My father was an alcoholic. And I wound up with some brain illness issues. I think genetics play a role in just about every kind of personality. And some people hit the lottery and some people don't.
Yeah.
But regardless, you have to figure out a way to get through life.
Sure.
In a way that you can manage these difficulties and go forward to earn your successes. If you don't, you're just going to be screwed up on drugs and alcohol and unhappy and
well, some
in jail or die early, or you're going to have problems.
Most of the people that are in there for murder, it's something to do with drugs.
But what? Here's the thing about the drugs. There's a circle here. The reason they're on drugs is because they don't feel good about themselves. So it allows them to forget their feelings. So you get on drugs, and that's why people drink mostly. That's why people drug, because they're not happy with themselves. I'm not trying to be negative.
No. I think some of it's also physical, you know, because they tried to have fun, and then all of a sudden it's like something strong, like fucking heroin, you know.
Well, I mean,
so that's just a physically addictive. They might not have done it the first time.
Yeah, then it becomes a second problem, which is physical addiction.
Yeah.
So now you got two problems: my brother being schizophrenic, chemical imbalance, brain illness, and then he got on drugs. So he was a drug addict, and so it's like two problems now.
Yeah, that's
bad. It's like he could never get out of it. He died early. You can't get away from it. It's too much.
It's compounding two mental illnesses.
Yeah. So what's the answer? The answer is, there is no easy answer.
No.
You have to struggle. When I quit smoking, I had to struggle. When I quit taking opiates, I had to struggle. When I went bankrupt in my business, I had to struggle. I could have given up, but I don't know how to give up. I used to cuss out loud. I used to say, I wish I knew how to give up. I can't give up. I don't know how. It's a crazy thing. It's almost like a curse. But to be ambitious, but that's the way it is. That's probably genetic, because my mother was super hardworking and dedicated to, you know, so I got a lot of that from her.
Mm-hmm.
Any rate, we're kind of going around in circles here, but that's okay. Any closing thoughts? I think our producer's telling us we're just about out of time. Well, by the way, speaking of out of time, the average listening time is like only about a minute on these podcasts.
1 minute?
Well, I've seen it as high as 4 minute averages and as low as like 90. As low as
which
like 60,
podcast? I've never
seconds.
Seen one that.
Well, I'm talking about the average listener.
Oh, where they tune in and then I've seen those.
So the average, I've seen it. It's like really low or pretty decent, but maybe 10% listen to all of it.
It's a bunch of ADHD people.
Yeah, that's got to be it, isn't it?
And that's something like I would do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really got to catch me. I just don't.
I think it's society. I think we're being thrown with so much information constantly.
We think
now
something else is out there. We got to flip.
Yeah, even if it's good for us, and we should be watching it, and we should be listening, and we enjoy it, we still skip around, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know what's really good though is to go to a concert, because then you're stuck there and you can enjoy the whole concert.
Yeah. Then I'm just going to be chasing tail the whole time.
I remember that about you. You used to do that all the time
I'm single, you know what I mean? Plus, I don't see my kids much, so it's like, you know, not because I want to, by the way. But,
Yeah, you always had a lot of women chasing you.
Sure.
I remember
they
that.
They don't chase me, I chase them.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they don't chase me.
Okay. Toby, you're something else, man. I'm glad we got to hang out and visit a little bit.
Yeah, man.
Any closing thoughts?
Man, I don't, actually.
You don't?
I'm going to be cold riding my bike home. That's my closing thought.
Wow. Well, here's my closing thoughts. Life is short. Enjoy the journey. Don't give up on whatever's important to you. Follow your heart. Keep moving forward. Keep the blinders on. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Because when you do, the plow goes crooked. Keep your eyes on the prize. Guys, thanks for listening. So until next time, remember, if you don't give up, the stars, they'll always line up. Stay positive.